Hey everyone, this is Ben Yin, owner and founder of Generational Financial Partners, where you can find us on the web, generationmd.com. Today I've got two of my senior partners on the line. We've got Daniel Burke and Nolan Pendleton. Good morning, guys.
Morning, Ben.
Good morning.
All right, so let's handle the topic that most of our independent contractor physicians always want to talk about, retirement. Right? Whenever we ask this question, hey, so Dr. Johnson, Dr. Smith, Dr. whoever, when do you want to retire? And then Daniel, what do they say when we ask that question? When do you want to retire? What's the most common answer?
Tomorrow or yesterday.
Yes. Yes. And that wasn't even scripted. That's exactly right. Yes. Tomorrow, yesterday, or ASAP. And so it's one of these things where it's funny. These docs of ours work so darn hard to get to where they are, where they're, you know, they're thriving in their practice. And they're like, oh, I just want to retire tomorrow. And so let's talk about that. In terms of what options they have. Now, if you're just a regular W-2, oftentimes you're just stuck with a 401k or a 403b, where in 2020 you can put away $19,500. And then if you're one of the lucky ones that's a W-2, you might have access to, you know, a 457 plan where you can put in more dollars. But for the most part, as a W-2, you only have that access to the 401k. Nolan, why don't you tell us about some of the options that an independent contractor physician has for retirement to help them reach that goal faster?
Yeah, so like you were saying, that, you know, your typical W-2 route, you have your 401k, 403b. The 401k, the defined contribution plan itself, is also available to an independent contractor, and that's just like the one at your work. You can contribute, you know, the $19,500 if you're under the age of 50. For tax year 2020. On top of that, you can also have your company make a match or a profit share for you. So whereas when you're a W-2 only working for a hospital per se, you can put in $19,500 and get your company match from the hospital. But when you're the actual independent contractor, that $19,500 can actually go up to $57,000. So you can get the tax deferral, not for the $19,500, but also for the $57,000 total. So 401k is an option. A SEP IRA is also another option, which also has the ability to get you $57,000 tax deferred. And then in addition to that, you can also do what's called a defined benefit or a cash balance plan that's above and beyond the 401k or SEP figures we were just mentioning. You know, based on your age, cash flow, a number of factors, we've got people putting upwards of $250,000 a year plus into those defined benefit cash balance plans. So a couple different options when you're the actual independent contractor.
Yeah, so defined benefit plan, the way I understand it, Nolan, it's really a quote-unquote self-funded pension, right? Where you're putting money, you're putting dollars in where you say, hey, I want to retire at a certain age, and at that certain age, I want to be able to pull out X amount of money per year for the rest of my life. Is that pretty accurate?
You got it. Yeah. Like on your 401k, your 403b, if they're familiar with that, that's a defined contribution. You're actually defining what you're going to contribute. You know, your hospital may say, hey, we're going to give you a 3% match or 5% or whatever. They're defining what they're going to give you, what they're going to contribute. They have no impact or no promises made on what that's ultimately going to grow to. They're just defining what they contribute. Whereas, like you said, the defined benefit, we're actually defining what that benefit is ultimately going to be at some point in time in the future. So similar, but definitely some differences there.
Okay. So also what I understand is as you get older for that DB plan, defined benefit, you can actually put in more dollars. So when you're in your 30s, you can't put in that much. But once you hit your 40s and 50s, as you get closer to that target age when you actually want to retire, you can actually put more in depending on how much benefit you actually want to create. So we've got, Nolan, some of our docs who are in their 50s, and you're saying they can put over $200,000 a year. Is that correct?
That's right. You know, as you get older, like you mentioned, the younger you are, the less you can put in, which is still a significant amount. But to your point, the younger you are, the less you can put in. As you get older, the more you're allowed to put in because, going back to that concept of the defined benefit, if we're defining a benefit in the future, you know, say age 65 or 70 or what have you, if we're 40, we've got a significant number of years to be able to fund that. If you're 60, we've got a lot less to be able to define that benefit, so they allow you to put a significant amount more in the shorter number of working years we have remaining.
Right. And so for our residents out there who are making $55,000 a year, $60,000 a year, they're like, what? Putting away $200,000? Are you crazy? Right. And so it's hard for them to fathom. And, you know, listen, if you're an emergency doc and you're making $350,000, $400,000 a year, you're probably not going to put away $250,000. You know, but what if you're one of our surgeons who's making, you know, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000, yeah, maybe you will put away that amount of money. Plus, if you put away a lot of money, you might be able to get into that threshold, that QBI threshold, qualified business income tax deduction, which is for another episode. So that's why, and it's not that you would, but the whole premise as an independent contractor, you could. So let's, Daniel, let me ask you this. Why is putting those dollars into something that's a retirement plan pre-tax a big deal for these high earning physicians? Because when I talk to these physicians, especially if they're early on in their career, they sometimes don't know the difference between pre-tax and after-tax, like a traditional 401k versus a Roth 401k. So the fact as an independent contractor, you could put away $57,000 towards a solo 401k or SEP, or like Nolan said, 200 plus in defined benefit, and that can be all pre-tax. Why is that a big deal?
You know, I think it's a big deal just because of, number one, the limits. So, you know, Ben, you and I and Nolan, we love to catch physicians immediately out of residency or immediately out of fellowship. And the reason being is we all know if planning is done early, you guys just have to save a lot less to achieve the same goal as someone that starts when they're 45 or 50. Okay. And a lot of times we're having to have those big, you know, monthly or annual retirement savings dollar discussion with clients, with physician clients that approach us when they're 45 or 55 or, you know, 60, because we've got to make up for lost time because they haven't saved properly. And so number one, it's nice to just have that cushion. But number two, you've also, it's way beyond just the how much can I save discussion. And all of us know kind of where I'm going with this. It goes deeper into where do we think taxes are going? You know, so if we start talking about where we think taxes are going, and everyone's got different opinions on that. But it's funny because a lot of people in finance always go back to superlatives. They always go back to pre-tax is always better, or Roth after tax is always better. And that couldn't be further from the truth. Every situation is different. So, for example, we've got a physician that is, as you mentioned, one of our surgeons making $750,000, $800,000 a year. And they think in retirement, they're only going to want to live on $250,000 a year. Then, hey, pre-tax, if tax rates being equal, pre-tax would probably make more sense. But we've got other clients that say, hey, you know what? I'm making $350,000 in an emergency room, and I kind of like my current standard of living, and I'd like to maintain that same standard of living. You know what? There might be some validity to after-tax planning because they have a long time horizon. And if they think tax rates are going up, then they're, you know, not paying taxes, or they're paying taxes now in their current tax bracket to not pay them in a higher one in the future. And so pre-tax is nice because it feels really good now, but long term, you really have to assess where we think you know, our taxable income is going to be in the future and where we think tax rates are going. So it's a very, very deep discussion that we're trying to cover at a high level here.
Yeah, that's a great point, because, you know, if you're an independent contractor, you have the option. If you say, hey, you know what, Ben, I want to put $57,000 a year into a Roth 401k versus a pre-tax 401k, you absolutely can. It is your prerogative, because as an IC, you're the boss, right? You are the president and CEO of your own small business, and you get to decide what's best for you. You do you, right, Nolan?
That's it.
Let's talk about, Nolan, real quick, the difference between the SEP IRA and the solo 401k. Because a lot of people are confused about the two different vehicles. Which one's better? Which one do I use? And I know there's a little bit of complexity that comes with that and some calculations. And this is just audio, so we're not writing, we're not drawing anything. So do your best and explain that those different concepts.
Yeah, so, you know, again, the SEP IRA and the solo 401k, they're both defined contribution plans. So, you know, separate from the defined benefit, like we mentioned earlier in the call, but defined contribution. So to your point, we don't have any numbers in front of us, so I'll keep it real simple. You know, if what you can put away is roughly about 25% of your W-2 base, your wage base, if you're utilizing a SEP IRA. So real simple math, if your wage base is $100,000, 25%, you know, the SEP's going to say roughly, you can put away about $25,000 into your SEP. In the 401k component, You have two parts. You've got where you can put money away, you know, just like when you were working at a hospital per se as the employee, that's that $19,500. Remember we mentioned earlier, your company can also match you roughly about that same 25%. So using the same wage base with a SEP IRA, I can put away $25,000 pre-tax. With the 401k, I can put away that $25,000 my company gives me plus the $19,500 that I put away for myself. And as you mentioned earlier, Ben, there could be a Roth component in there, et cetera. So a little more flexibility with those two to allow more pre-tax funding, if that's what you choose.
All right, so it sounds like if you're an IC doc, you pay yourself $100,000 a year on purpose to try to keep some of that payroll tax down, Social Security, Medicare, I should say, that tax a little bit down. With the SEP IRA, it's 25%, you can put away $25,000. But if you instead use a solo 401k, you could actually put away $44,500. And then I just did some math. If you wanted to maximize the solo 401k with the $57,000, your wage base in 2020 needs to be $150,000. And then if you're trying to maximize the SEP IRA using a wage base, what does that turn out being? Let's see, it is $228,000. So Nolan, why do people use the SEP versus the solo then, if the solo seems like you can put more money in while keeping your wages down?
Yeah, I think it's just one of those things that people have done in the past. They're very easy to set up. The SEP IRA, I mean, it is similar to a 401k plan. However, you know, the IRA backside of it is an individual retirement account. So it is very easy. There's very little paperwork involved. With a 401k, we recommend somebody having what's called a third-party administrator, somebody making sure that you are following all the rules and specific guidelines and calculations. So when you get a 401k, there's additional paperwork, there's additional filing that has to be done with your taxes. So there's a few more steps, and there is, you know, relatively speaking, you know, some costs when you have a third party administrator to actually administer that plan. So I think it's a sense of it's easy with the SEP IRA. It's also cheaper with the SEP IRA as far as cost goes. However, Ben, as you just mentioned, you know, with to max out a 401k, I've got to pay myself $150,000 to max out a SEP. That $57,000 mark to max out a SEP, it's upwards of $220,000. So when you start looking at the cost of the payroll, et cetera, the SEP's going to dwarf it in so much as it's going to be significantly more expensive when you look at all costs as far as that goes.
That's right. Well, thank you. Daniel, any last words for our listeners about reaching retirement yesterday or tomorrow? I mean, it's, you know, we kind of joke about it that, hey, these people want to retire, but these docs, they're getting such a late start in their careers. You know, oftentimes if they go to fellowship, they're sometimes in their mid-30s when they come out, and they turn around, they see their non-physician friends. They've been saving money since they were 21. So if you had to kind of give one or two tips about this doc who's listening, what's the best thing to do moving forward?
You know, I would say from a behavioral standpoint, I see physician clients that approach us fall into one of two categories. The first one would be, you know, the physicians, like I mentioned earlier, that approach us directly out of medical training. And, you know, they understand the value of planning and getting a plan together early. And it's just a very fun and enjoyable process because the amount of money they need to save on a monthly or annual basis isn't a ton to reach a goal because of a long time horizon. And then on the flip side, we, you know, have those clients, as I mentioned, that come to us that are in their, you know, 40s or 50s. And it's interesting because those clients, it's fun too. You know, they may have noticed that over the last 10 or 15 or 20 years that they haven't focused on their savings like they should, or they've been focusing heavy on paying off their student loan debt. And so now they understand the value that they need to kind of catch up or make up for lost time. You know, and so they're excited about it. But maybe it's a little bit more painful because it's a larger dollar, you know, to save on a monthly basis. So I'd say, you know, whichever camp you fall into, it's never too late to start planning or start saving. It's never too early, but it can be too late. So the last thing, you know, we want to see is, you know, them fall into the camp where they're the physician that's working, you know, well into their 70s and they're doing it because they have to for income, not because they're passionate about their, you know, residents or training or their clients or patients. We want to make sure that they're working because they're still passionate about medicine. So,
no, that's great. Daniel Burke, Nolan Pendleton, my name is Ben Yin. Thank you so much for listening. If you have questions, go to generationmd.com. There is a special section for independent contractor physicians. where we talk about different type of retirement plans. In this episode, we talked about SEP IRAs, solo 401ks, and defined benefit plans. Nolan, Daniel, thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, thanks for listening. Benjamin Yin, Thomas, Nolan Pendleton, and Daniel Burke are registered representatives offering securities through Nylife Securities LLC, member FINRA and SIPC, a licensed insurance agency. 5909 Peachtree Dunwoody Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30328, 770-730-2000. They are also financial advisors offering investment advisory services through Eagle Strategies LLC, a registered investment advisor. Generational Financial Partners LLC is not owned or operated by Nylife Securities or its affiliates. Their office address is 4720 Peachtree Industrial Boulevard, Suite 5202, Norcross, Georgia, 30071. Their telephone number is 770-559-0815 and can be found on the World Wide Web at generationmd.com. And Benjamin Yin's email address is ben@planforgenerations.com.